Hi, Alex Black, Rio 2, developing the Fenix Gold project in Chile, 5 million ounces, just completed a very successful equity financing for the project, which takes us through to construction financing, and we're gearing ourselves up to be in a position to produce first gold by the end of next year.
Fantastic, and good to see you, Alex, and congrats on the raise. But I guess we've got to talk about it. So how much, where did it come from?
Well, it ended up being about $22 million, and we started off with a goal of $8 million. We thought that was what was our bare minimum to get us through from where we are today to probably around September, when we're anticipating we may do another equity financing for the construction of the project. However, when I started to call existing shareholders in respect to contributing to that $8 million financing, and I was looking at doing potentially half the book of $3 to $4 million, very quickly that book grew to about $16-17 million. So, which really surprised me, and has never happened to me in this junior sort of corporate world that I've been in for the last 25 years. And particularly because our shareholders, our existing shareholders, have just been through 2 years of hell with this decline or a negative decision on our EIA. And here we are. You know, they were very keen to get involved and very keen to back us. So with that in mind, and the fact that we had 16, 17 million, we took a step backwards, had to think about it, thought about where we were, what was happening in the market, and we decided to top up a little bit on that, and we got more demand than 22, but we decided to draw the line in the sand at 22. And I think if we had have kept going, we could have got anywhere up to 30 million easily.
Right.
So it was pretty well received and good validation for what we're trying to do with this project in Chile.
Well, I think that's the point. I think the point is that it does validate the fact that people believe that this thing will get over the line and start producing gold as planned. You know, preaching Chile and environmental refusals, etc. I mean, like, you were sort of, you know, from 2020, 2021, and even, you know, the first bit of 2022, you're sitting around sort of, you know, between 70 and 80 cents. I mean, 46 cents today. It's certainly heading the right way. Can I just be clear about how many or what percentage of roughly existing shareholders bought into this new round?
Well, when we're talking about existing shareholders, we're talking about high net worth individuals or funds, right? So yeah. I would say I got a 90% hit rate.
Okay.
On those guys.
Obviously, Eric Sprott was, 25 million pre, this is 31
Eric
million
came
now.
In.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Came in. We've got another high net worth individual who sort of surfaced out of nowhere, who's a businessman in Central America, based in Monaco, of all places. And he participated in a reasonable way. And then some existing funds that have been. Some who have been with the story since the old Atacama Pacific days, which was, you know, pre-2018 when we acquired this asset. So, yeah, it was quite interesting. And like I say, you know, I'm very thankful for the support and the validation that those people have given us.
Well, absolutely. And I think the point I was getting to is, like, if you've got a weight of existing shareholders buying this thing, there's a kind of belief there, but it also it stops the whining about dilution, et cetera, to a degree, which sort of hampers a lot of retail-based stock. That said, they will have been asking you some simple question, which is, what are you going to do with the money? So ask the same question. What are you going to do with the money that's going to drive the growth component to this story?
Well, when you look at the proceeds that have been generated, we've got about 18 million US in the bank. And obviously I'm referring US dollars because that's how we spend our money. Going into September, the financing that we're going to be doing in September, we're likely to have half of that still in the bank. And so contributing, let's say, $9 million to the next financing, if there is one in respect to general equity. And so the money aside from that, will go towards permitting and re-establishing our workforce in Chile to build this asset. Remembering that we had got started on this asset, if people go to our website and have a look at our corporate presentation, there's lots of photos there that show the work that we were able to do 2 years ago, which is still there. And a lot of the prefabrication of the plant, long lead items, et cetera, has been done. The only long lead item that we're working on right now and remaining at long lead item is the gensets. And so some of this money will go towards that. We will be using the money productively, and we will have money left over that will go towards the equity of whatever we need to raise in respect to the construction financing.
Right, okay. So I appreciate it won't be a case of treading water, and which you've had to do for the last 2 years. I saw the note with regards to paying salaries, backdated salaries in the shape of shares. So it's no more
That was our way of battening down the hatches.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we'll stop that now. You know, we don't have to continue to do that. But, you know, we don't have a huge corporate overhead. We've got three people in our executive team. That's myself, Andrew Cox, the president and CEO, and Catherine Johnson, our CFO, and one person in Canada. So we don't have a corporate head office in Canada. Catherine works from home in Vancouver. And here we are, and I'm calling you now from Lima. This is where we have 14 people that are overseeing the development of this project. These 14 people are ex-Rio Alto, had built La Arena, which was sold for the fourth time just the other day, and Shell Windows. So we've got a very tight, you know, cost structure at the G&A level, and so, you know, we don't have a huge expense at that level.
Right. So explain because I'm really interested in the efficient use of capital. Right. So you've got $18 million US in the bank now. Well, I assume it's closed. Right. You've got the money. Right.
Yeah. No. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Got to sleep. Well, 3 weeks ago. Right. You know, that allocation comes really, really important. But, you know, when companies use the phrase of, you know, we're a developer, it means different things to different people. You were significantly advanced. You were almost ready. You were ready to go, you know, 18 months, 2 years ago. What happens now in terms of, you know, what can you do which isn't just waiting for permits? Can you just sort of explain the to-do
There's
list?
A lot of things. We've got two alliance partners. We've got Stracon on the civil construction, and they will eventually be our mining contractor as well. And we have HLC, who's going to be building the processing plant. HLC built both La Arena and Shell Window for us at Rio Alto. They're Peruvian-based with a Chilean subsidiary. Same with Stracon. Their head office is here in Peru, but they have a subsidiary in Chile. And so setting up those alliances have been set up 2 years ago. It's reactivating the alliances, getting remobilizing people and equipment, remembering that Stracon are going to bring in all the equipment that we're going to be using to do the civil works, etc. They also will be in charge of trucking the water from Copiapó to the project, so they'll be buying a tanker fleet, etc., and putting that in place. HLC, well, you'll see on our website presentation that there's a lot of stuff that's been prefabricated 2 years ago. They now have an assembly job to do up at the project once we get the construction financing in place. And so there's a lot of things. And then when we stopped 2 years ago, we had just employed 80 good, young, enthusiastic professionals in Chile who were with us for about 2 months, and then we had to let them go. But a lot of those guys who have gone off to other things would like to come back because they like our company work culture, the way that we do things, which is a carryover from the old Rio Alto days. I mean, that, you know, we do things completely differently too. And we have a great, you know, Latino-based, management team that can execute and deliver on these types of projects.
Okay, now even they're going to be asking the same question, I suspect, as some of the people you spoke to during the fundraise, which is, In terms of the remaining permits, what's the difference between the importance, or sorry, the way that the state looks at this versus federal government looks at the remaining and outstanding permits? Is anyone going to get involved that doesn't need to be involved this time?
No. It happens at the regional level, so it doesn't happen at the federal level. We've had our turn with the federal government, and in fact, what's really strange and is a complete reversal is that we are now a priority project in the Atacama region. We have the Ministry of Economy and the Ministry of Mining pushing this project ahead with all their support to bring it into being. That's after all the crap we went through over the last 2 years. But it's economy and mining that have prioritized this project as a priority project in the Atacama region to go into construction and production. So That's how far we've come.
It's always the case in business that money talks, i.e. if it can create taxes and jobs and, you know, another kind of investment in the region, it's usually gets a thumbs up. But given the difficulties you've had, even you must be slightly surprised. When you were saying that, I was kind of like reeling in my seat.
Oh, no.
What's changed?
Well, when we went through the ministerial appeal process, everybody apart from Environment, which actually ran the process, but all the other ministries could understand that we had done nothing wrong, and that we had done everything by the book, and that we were wrongfully. And if you look at one of the things, when we did this financing, we announced the issue of the RCA, which is the official decree or resolution, which triggers the permitting process. We announced that. But what's really interesting, and people can go to the public domain of the environmental bodies in Chile and see it, they actually admit that this project was wrongfully stopped, that we had done everything right, and that it's in writing that they admitted that they should not have withheld this project from going ahead. Now, I mean, you know, do we sue the government or do something like that? No, I mean, obviously we can't. But, you know, for the damages, I mean, look at the damage that's been done. As you mentioned before, you know, our share price was 60-odd cents and now we're 40, trying to push through 50. I mean, we've never recovered, really. I mean, there's other reasons for that, gold, the sentiment towards gold, juniors, et cetera. But, you know, this now is just a completely turned around project, and it's because of mining, economy, and other ministries that were in that process that are now saying, yeah, we've got to help these guys get this project on its way, all right? And so it's a good support that we've got at that level. And we've always had community support, you know, as I like to say, social. We've always had that. And social was part, you know, the communities were part of the lobby for this project to happen. Business support in the Atacama region. Why? Atacama region has some of the highest unemployment in the whole of Chile of any other region, even though it's a mining region. So, you know, it's important for business. And we've got the governor of Atacama, you know, right behind us as well. So we've got everybody pushing towards this project, getting permitted and expediting the permitting process. I mean, it's a bureaucratic process. It can't be withheld. I mean, nobody can say, oh, well, you know, we don't like something else. I mean, once you've got your EIA approved, you're on your way. So it's a matter of expediting that bureaucratic process.
So give me a sense, because you'll be moving into kind of project finance discussions again, I suspect.
But we haven't stopped that yet. Yeah.
No, of course. But the permitting process will take how long until you get all those boxes ticked?
We're anticipating August of this year.
Okay, fantastic. And then I guess the question comes around to, in a higher price gold environment like we're looking at now, it's only been, you know, 2-3 months, right? It's taken a kind of reset, but it's kind of doing the things now which people expected it to be doing 2 years ago with the kind of printing of money and sort of economic pressures we saw. But it's doing it now. Do you change your plans any? Do you look at, you know, the ore body and say, well, actually, cut-off grades change. Maybe we can borrow a bit more money. Maybe we can do things slightly differently. How are you having are you having those conversations, first of all?
No, not really. I mean, you don't want to complicate the whole thing. I mean, we did a feasibility study dated September 23. Most of the numbers in that study are up to date, particularly fuel, because fuel's one of our biggest cost centers. You don't want to complicate things. And you know, at the end of the day, obviously with the gold price going up, cutoffs change. But that really won't start to fall into line until we're in production. And then we can start to look at what our real cutoff should be, et cetera, et cetera. But remembering that what we're planning to do in the first few years, we're planning to stockpile low-grade material, which is material between 0.4 and 0.2 grams gold. And we're planning to put on the heap leach pad material that's closer to 0.6 or 0.7 grams. And so, in effect, high-grading. Why are we doing that? To accelerate cash flow and to be able to accelerate the payback of whatever money we borrow.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Well, I mean, Alex, like, I just wanted to kind of make contact, say, you know, great endorsement from the market and from some big names in there, like Eric Sprott, Uncle Eric, saying they believe you can get this thing over the line. So stay in touch. Let's know how you get on. Certainly as you move towards that August timeframe or Q3 timeframe.
Yeah, okay. And once again, Matt, I'd just like to take the opportunity to say to people, if you do want to communicate with me, because I do take emails directly from people, it's alex.black@rio2.com. Happy to answer questions. I've always done that. Now we've got a smile on our face because we're on our way. Before it was a bit tough because I had nothing much to say. It's really good to be on our way. One of the few development projects in the gold space at the moment, and that's obviously attracting a lot of eyes to what we're doing.
Yeah, okay, that's the Rio bit. I just want to talk to you about the market a bit, just while you're on there. I always enjoy it when I talk to you about this. We've seen a bunch of M&A happening. I think some quite good stuff going on out there off the back. I think last year was, you know, companies mergers happening out of necessity rather than making good economic sense. First, your concerns. You feel that you need to get this thing up and running. You're not going to receive bids on Rio 2. Just kind of.
We've always been in the M&A space from the point of view of looking at other opportunities, and we continue to do that. I can tell you that's happening right now. But okay. Secondly, we've been approached by corporates, bigger mining companies. Now that we've. Yeah. De-risk this project to a certain level, and obviously once we get our permits, we've completely de-risked and on our way. So what we've been very clear with those corporates is we're not looking to be taken out and, you know, looking to sell. We're here to do what we did at Rio Alto, is build value and bring this project into production. And don't forget, there's a second stage to this project. We've talked a little bit about it. We will talk more about it, and maybe that might be my next session with you, is to talk about the expansion potential of this project. But, you know, we're not anticipating expansion until probably somewhere between year 3 and 5 of production. So, you know, we've got to get started here. But, we're not for sale. We will build value, and then let's see what happens in 3 to 5 years' time.